All right, let's jump into the Word of God together. Turn with me in your Bibles to Luke chapter 6. We're going to be looking at verses 12 through 19. And Father, we're so grateful that you brought us to the table of your Word. And we pray now that we will feast at your table. Thank you for the food that you're going to set before us. Lord, may we eat with joyful hearts. Speak to us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Luke 6, verses 12 through 19, as we continue to go verse by verse through the Gospel of Luke. We're in chapter 6, looking at verses 12 through 19. The title of this message is Spending Time with Jesus. Spending time with Jesus. Now, we're living in a time where we're busier than we've ever been. Technology has made our lives easier, but more complicated as well. With the demands of the job and family, many of us have little time for anything else. And you know, as Christians, our lives are no different. Our lives are just as complicated as everyone else's. So if we want to see our world change for God, then we must spend time with Jesus. If we want to see our lives changed, we must spend time with Jesus. If we want to see our families changed, we must spend time with Jesus. And in these verses, we're going to see what happened in the life of Jesus when he spent time with the Father. And then we're going to look at what happened in the lives of a group of men that Jesus chose to change this world once they spent time with Jesus. Look what it says there in verse 12. Now it came to pass in those days that he went out to the mountain to pray and continue all night in prayer to God. Now here we see Jesus getting away to spend time in prayer. He went out, according to verse 12, to the mountain to pray. My question is, where is your mountain that you get along and get away to pray to God and spend time with the Lord? What mountain do you have? You need one. And we see Jesus getting away, going to the mountain to pray. And Jesus is our example, how we need to get away to pray and reflect on this word, to get away from the noise of everyday life, get away from the TV, the cell phone and computer, get away from people to get along with God. And this is difficult for those of you with little children. I know it is, but it's something that you must find time to do. Now, verse 12 says that Jesus not only prayed, but he continued all night in prayer. Why would he do this? What was so important that Jesus felt that he needed to spend not only time in prayer, but to spend all night in prayer? Look at verse 13. And when it was day, he called his disciples to himself, and from them he chose 12, whom he also named apostles. Jesus had a major decision to make the next day, so he spent all night in prayer. Jesus gives us a good example to follow. If you have to make a major decision today or next week, spend time in prayer the night before. All the decisions we have to make in life, whether it is to move out of the state, whether it's to take this job or that job, whether to marry them, whether to get out of the military or reenlist, all of these decisions we have to make in life, many of them we spend making these decisions without spending 1 minute in prayer, let alone all night in prayer. Jesus knew that he had only 3.5 years on earth to pour into the life of 12 men. So these men had to be special men who would be used to change the world. The future of the church will rest in their hands. And look what it said there in verse 13. He says he called his disciples. Disciples mean disciplined ones. And out of them he called 12 apostles, which means sent out ones. Let me ask you this. Are you a disciple of Jesus? And you will shake your head and say, yes, 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 I am. Then I will ask, are you a disciplined one? Which is what disciple means. Many of us are so undisciplined, we don't read our Bibles. We come to church occasionally, or, you know, when it's convenient for us. We pray seldomly, only when we want God to do something for us or to get us out of a bad situation we got ourselves into. We don't practice self-control in areas of our lives. We don't exercise physically. But we will be the first ones to raise our hand and say, I'm a disciple of Jesus Christ. Now, who are these disciples? Who are these men? Who are these apostles that will be used to change the world? Look at verse 14. Simon, who he also named Peter, and Andrew, his brother, James and John, Philip and Bartholomew. Now, whenever you see a list of the disciples, Peter is usually listed first and Judas last. And it was not unusual for many of them to have two names. Peter, his name was given to him by Jesus. It means rock. But as we can see in verse 14, his real name was Simon. Andrew, Peter's brother, was always bringing people to Jesus. He was the one who brought Peter to Jesus. James and John were brothers as well, and they were in the fishing business with Peter and Andrew. They were nicknamed Sons of Thunder. Tradition said that when Jesus called them into full-time ministry, they left everything right there, including their dad, Zebedee, and the fishing business. Let's just say that old dad wasn't too happy about that, and he hit the roof. But as we all know, the fruit doesn't fall far from the tree, and that the boys took on dad's temper. On one occasion, when the city didn't receive the message of Jesus, they came to him and said, do you want us to call down fire from heaven and consume them like Elijah did? Jesus responded and said, whoa. You don't know what kind of spirit you're of. I didn't come to destroy men's life, but to save them. On another occasion, they said a similar thing, and Jesus said, what's up with you sons of thunder? That's the Tony Clark translation. I want you to listen. I want you to listen to what Jesus said. He said, I did not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. In other words, never be a part of destroying someone's life. And this goes for coworkers, friends, ex-spouses and boyfriends and girlfriends. If you want to be like Jesus, you will not want to be a part of destroying people's lives. And notice how Jesus rebuked them for this. And so too, when you become a part of trying to destroy someone's life, Jesus will rebuke you too. Being in the position that I'm in, I've had this happen so many times. People try to destroy my life. And let me tell you something. The Lord doesn't take too kindly to that. And they got rebuked. And so too, when you become a part of a coup that's going to try to destroy someone's life, some of you can't wait to get to work to get started on this. And the Lord will rebuke you for it. When you become a part of in the break room whispering and kind of, and there they are right there. Just know the Lord will rebuke you. He said, I didn't come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. And this should be our hearts as well. So I want you to notice that James and John, they were just like their father, Zebedee. They had a bad temper just like he did. And please understand that the same is true in our lives and in our homes. Proverbs 17 verse 6 said, the glory of children is their father. In other words, our children will reflect us as parents. Now, I know that this is a scary, sobering thought. So don't get upset when your daughter is yelling at her siblings or friends because she sees and hears you yelling at your husband. Men, don't be shocked at how your son is treating the little girls at the school or in the neighborhood because he sees you treating your wife like a dog. Our children reflect us, just like James and John were reflecting their father. And this is why they were known as sons of thunder, because Zebedee, their father, was thunder. And they were his sons, therefore sons of thunder. But what I find so amazing is what spending time with Jesus would do to us. John, who used to be a hothead and known for his explosive temper, is later known as the apostle of love. It is the same John who wrote the book of 1 John dealing with love and loving one another. James ended up being the leader of the early church and was known as Camel Knees because of all the time he spent in prayer with Jesus. He was a humble, gentle man. Now notice, not wimpy. Gentle doesn't mean wimpy. He was a humble, gentle man. And he was humble and he reflected love in his leadership in the early church. This is why spending time with Jesus is so important. When we do, he changes us from being sons of thunder to being apostles of love. What are you known for? What are you known for on the job? What are you known for at home? Are you known to be a hothead? Are you known to be the person who gives everybody a piece of your mind? When you get away to be with Jesus, watch and see how he will start to change you. In other words, whatever you were known for in the past, Jesus doesn't intend to leave you that way. He changes us like he did James and John. So many people, well, I was born this way and I, you know, I'm a Christian now. Hey, let me tell you something. All because you were born a certain way and you're a Christian now, he doesn't intend to leave you that way. He intends to change you, to make you more like him. See, that's the thing. That's the true test of whether a person is really born again, is a changed life. When you spend time with him, then Jesus is going to rub off on you. That's just the way it is. That's just the way it goes. Spending time with him. Then we have Philip. Philip was from the same area as Peter and Andrew, which was the city of Bethsaida. He was the one who found Nathanael and brought him to Jesus. Then we have Bartholomew, is the same as Nathanael. Like I said before, it was not unusual for them to have two names. Then we have verse 15. It says, Matthew and Thomas, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon called the Zealot. Now Matthew, or Levi, was a tax collector, or he worked for the IRS of Rome. Thomas was a twin. He was known as Doubting Thomas. We always get on him. Oh, he's Doubting Thomas. You know that Thomas. He was just such a doubter. If I was there, man, I wouldn't have doubted like he did. But all of us have been Thomas before. How many of us have doubted whether Jesus would do something for us or not? We all have been Thomas. Then we got James, the son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot. Now, this Simon was a part of a radical Jewish group called the Zealots. They started years earlier in 165 to 167 BC when Antiochus Epiphanes went into Jerusalem and desecrated the temple by offering up a pig on the altar to Zeus and made the priest drink his blood. It was truly an abomination of desolation. The high priest at that time was a man named Matthanias who had five sons. One of them named Judas Maccabees, his name means the hammer. And through hand-to-hand combat, they defeated the Syrian army and chased them out of the land. So there were men who rose up to keep this tradition going until the days of Jesus. When Rome ruled the world, this group, the Zealots, rose up and tried to do what the Maccabees had done long ago. It is believed that Barabbas was a zealot as well. You remember when they asked for Barabbas, give us Barabbas! And it said that Barabbas was arrested because of rebellion and murder. It is believed that Barabbas was a zealot. Now, I brought all of this up because I'm going to show you what spending time with Jesus will do. The old Simon, who was a zealot, would have taken the head off of Matthew, the tax collector, who worked for Rome. But because Jesus changes people, they were able to get along. But the old Simon, oh, he would have had Matthew's head, took it right off. Let me ask you this. Whose head do you want to take off? Whose head you can't wait to get to work this week and just rip them up one side and down the other? Let me tell you. When you spend time with Jesus, he begins to change you from the inside out. And people that you once would have ripped their head off, now you're able to get along with them. Because Jesus changes us when we are with him. He changes us from the inside out. He makes us a different person. And we see this here with Simon the Zealot. Look at verse 16. It says, Judas, the son of James, and Judas Iscariot, who also became a traitor. Judas, the son of James, is also Thaddeus. And then there's Judas Iscariot. Now, Iscariot is not his last name. This means that he was from the city of Cariot. Now, what I find amazing is that Jesus spent all night in prayer for this motley crew. Especially Judas. Jesus knew that Judas would betray him and he still chose him. Oh boy, it's no different than you and me. He knew that we would be a hot mess and make the dumb mistakes we make, and he still chose us. He knew the things that we would do after we accepted him. He knew the dumb mistakes we would make, and he still chose us. No different than he did with Judas. Look at verse 17, because I think that stands out to me. He says, and he came down with them and stood on a level place with the crowd of his disciples and a great multitude of people from all Judea and Jerusalem and from the sea coast of Tyre and Sidon, who came to hear him and be healed of their diseases. I want to draw your attention to the phrase that when he came down, he came and stood on a level place. This stood out to me because when Jesus came down, he didn't come down from the mountain and stood on an elevated platform saying, we are the most holy right ones. No, he stood on a level place with the people. My point is this, never try to come off to people that you're speaking down to them. That turns them off. When you're talking to people, come on a level place with them. And minister to them like Jesus did here. Bring your nose and your head down from the clouds when you're around people, because spiritual pride is the worst kind of pride. I know how you get when you get around folks that don't know the Lord. You kind of go in. Just kind of. And when you're sitting there, you just bring that nose and that head down. You're not anybody special. Bring it down. And go and just be with the people. Minister to the people. Don't try to think that you're the most holy right one. You're not. You're just not. I'm here to tell you. Remember, I'm your friend. I'm here to tell you. I'm here to tell you that. Now, look at verses 17 to 19. And he came down with them and stood on a level place with the crowd of the disciples and great multitudes of people from all Judea and Jerusalem and from the seacoast of Tyre and Sidon, who came to hear him, and he healed of their diseases, as well as those who were tormented with unclean spirits, and they were healed. And the whole multitude sought to touch him, for power went out from him and healed them all. Notice it says that power went out from him. I suggest to you that this power came from Jesus was a result of him spending all night in prayer with the Father. The power that comes from prayer. Jesus had a magnetism about him. People wanted to be around him, to touch him, to hear him. And when we spend time with Jesus, guess what? He rubs off on us. When this happens, we too will find people just wanting to be around us as well, asking us questions, wanting us to pray with them and for them. And we'll see a power come from us to minister to people where first there was a timidity. Now we see a power coming forth from our lives. When we spend time with the Lord, he just rubs off on us. Isn't that what happened with Moses? You remember Moses went up to get the Ten Commandments, went up there 40 days and 40 nights. He was with God. The Bible said God is light. In him is no darkness at all. So by him spending time with God for 40 days and 40 nights, when he came down, he was glowing. When we spend time with the Lord, we glow. Some of Jesus will rub off on us. You'll see all of a sudden a magnetism. People just want to be around you. There's a natural charisma that will come from you. I'm not saying the Lord is going to take you out of your personality and who you are, but some of y'all's personality, you need some adjustment. You know that. If you don't believe me, when you go, I told this the first service, when you come, I'll be right at the door. I'll be honest with you. I tell you. I had to tell one, you need some help. You need to spend a little time. We understand her, you know. Her sister admitted it. Yep. And I was honest with her. I loved and hugged her right after. I tell you, you need to spend a little time, get a little adjustment. Because when we spend time with the Lord, there's something about it. You know, the Bible said that even children wanted to be around Jesus. You know, one time they, you know, the children wanted to come. They were just kind of standing in line, just kind of, you know, moving their feet. They just wanted to be with Jesus. And the disciples were like, no. And Jesus said, whoa, suffer the little children, forbid them not, for such is the kingdom. And I can just see them running up, jumping, you know, all over his head and stuff. Just, and there's just something about Jesus. There was a magnetism about him. People just wanted to be around him. It's, you know, I can just tell they just wanted to just touch. If I can just touch his garment, they wanted to. Is that what people, do people want to be around you? Or do you find people constantly avoiding you? And don't flatter yourself and say, well, it's because I'm living for the Lord. I'm just so holy and just so. Let me tell you something. No. No. I'm going to be honest with you. That's not it. Probably, you're probably being a jerk for number one. That's the first thing. And then second, you think you're spiritual and that's why people don't want to be around. No, no, no. Jesus had a magnetism about him that people just wanted to be around. Little kids just want, and he just loved on people and just people wanted to be with, just to touch you. I just want to touch you. And that's how it, look at your own life right now. I can just tell. I can go through the crowd right now and point. I can just tell. People don't like to be around you, do they? Well, I'm just kind of quiet and by myself and people don't want to be around you for a reason. Don't think it's because you're quiet or what, it's what you're giving off. When you're around Jesus, there would just be a magnetism about you. There would just be something about you that people just like. And all of a sudden you see them at the job, they go, you know, can you pray for me? Can you pray with me? You got a couple minutes I can talk for you just for a few minutes. People just want to be around you. And it's just something when we're with Jesus, that's what happens. It's just naturally, and like I said, I'm not saying you guys all of a sudden have this bubbly personality. I'm not saying that. But you have to evaluate your own heart, because how will we minister to people and really lead them to the Lord if people don't even want to be around us, don't want to have anything to do with us? There are some of you that's like this. You come to the door, you reach out, you stick your hand way out there as if to say, I'm going to shake your hand, but do not come within the boundaries of this arm. Because I have a radius. No one gets in here. And that's because you've been hurt. That's because you've been hurt. And you said, never again, I'm going to let anyone in my circle again. And let me tell you, that's not Jesus. To be like Jesus, you got to risk being hurt again. And you're like, you know what? I'm not ready for that. Then you're not ready to be like Jesus. Because we have to let people in. How will we reach them? There's people God wants you to reach for him. And you can't reach them as long as you got that radius around you. You can't. There's people you can reach that I can't. Because there's things that God has allowed in your life that's going to be a blessing to that person and that person that I won't be able to reach. God never wastes a hurt. There's some hurt and some things that's in your life that God wants to use and redeem to reach other folks that I can't reach them. But as long as you got that arm out, you listen to somebody who's been hurt before. And I say, you know what? No, not anymore. I say, I can play the role. I can play the role like everybody else. Fine. I'm going to teach. I'm going to get down and I'm going to go right upstairs and I don't have to deal with nobody. And it lasted for a few weeks and then I just couldn't help it anymore. Had to get back down. But I said, you know what? I'm gone. Forget it. I teach and I'm gone. Never would I let somebody no more. Not me. Mm-mm. Hurt yourself. You ain't going to hurt me. And the Lord said, and the Lord was just like, let me see how long that's going to last for you. And I was like, okay. All right. After a few weeks, I was back down in the foyer, whatever. Now, So you're not talking to somebody who hasn't been there. But you know what? There's people that God wants us to reach. And we have to spend time with Jesus so some of him can rub off on us. The Bible says about Jesus that he was a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. So we don't have a savior that wasn't hurt before. He was hurt. He was hurt too. But he wants us to reach people for him. Let me conclude with this. Because I want you to see how important it is to get away to your mountain to be with Jesus in prayer and his word. Because there are decisions that we have to make the next day, tomorrow, or next week, and we need God's heart on the issue. Also, we saw how spending time with Jesus would change us from being hotheads to becoming apostles of love. If you don't want your children to become sons of thunder, you will need to get alone and spend time with Jesus and prayer in the word. I say prayer in the word is because it's a dialogue. It's a dialogue, not a monologue. We speak to God in prayer. He speaks to us through his word. There's many people say, well, you know, I pray, and I'm like, okay, great. But what is God saying back to you? He speaks to us through the word. It's a dialogue. Just this morning as I was reading Proverbs chapter 11, and I was just going, cut the day, it's the 11th. And the Lord was just speaking to me about something. I was like, oh Lord, I'm sorry for that. Oh Lord, help me work this in my life, Lord. And we were just having this conversation this morning. That's how it is. When you spend time with the Lord, it's prayer and the word of God. And he'll begin to change us from hotheads to apostles of love. And over time, you will see he'll begin to change you. And that which you were known for in the past, you would see those things begin to go by the wayside. People on the job would begin to say, what happened to you? Girl, I know, girl, a month ago, a customer came at you like that, you would have hit the roof. What's going on with you? See, they begin to see the change. Oh, man, watch out. Mom and dad, really, they're going to hit the roof with this one. And all of a sudden you just go and you just kind of calm and just, nobody say you still don't tear that rear end up, but you still calm and you. And all of a sudden, people begin to see the change over time because you spent time with Jesus. May that be our hearts. May there be something we begin to do this week. Practice spending time with Jesus because there are decisions that all of us need to make. Major decisions. And if Jesus saw the need to spend all night in prayer, who are we not to as well? Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your loving kindness and tender mercies. Thank you for the power of your word. Lord, we pray that you help us to spend time with you, Lord, in prayer and the word. We pray, God, that you would be with us, Lord. Speak to us. We need your heart on issues and things that we're facing, decisions we need to make. And Lord, help us to seek you. You said when we seek you, we'll be found by you. So Lord, work in us, we pray. Work in our hearts. Lord, do a work in us and change us from the inside out. And it's in your name we pray. Amen.